We're going to spend a few minutes today on a topic that many of us have been trying to master since fifth grade. It's the Electoral College and efforts by Republican legislators in Pennsylvania and Nebraska to change it, which not all Republicans are happy about. First, that fifth grade part. Americans don't directly vote for the president. Instead, the Constitution calls for every state to be assigned a number of electors equal to the state's members of Congress. The candidates win the electors' votes. Most of the time, that works out pretty well. The winner of the Electoral College vote is the same as the winner of the popular vote. Except, of course, for 2000, when Al Gore won the popular national vote, but George W. Bush won the Electoral College vote and the presidency. A move started on the left to change the Electoral College. Now, following President Obama's win in 2008, Republicans are calling for change. Remember that every state can decide how to award the electoral votes. 48 states are popular vote winner-take-all. Maine and Nebraska, on the other hand, give their electoral votes to the winner of each congressional district plus two to the candidate who wins the statewide vote. Now, Pennsylvania Republicans want to go from winner-take-all to the district proportional system. Nebraska Republicans want to go the other way. Let's start with Nebraska. Fred Knapp is a reporter and producer for NET News in Lincoln, Nebraska. Now, Fred, Democrats there say this move is pretty transparent. President Obama was the first Democrat to get an electoral vote in Nebraska in over 40 years.
Since 1964, 2008 was the first year that a Democrat had picked up an electoral vote in Nebraska.
And we understand it was just one district, just one vote, and Omaha, I believe, was the area?
That's right.
Yeah.
So one out of five.
Well, but you've spoken to many Republicans in the area, and they've been grumbling for a while about this, and they feel that wanting to go from a district system to a winner-take-all system is not about that one vote. It's about being fair.
That's right. There are a number of arguments that they make, including that with only five electoral votes, Nebraska runs the risk of being ignored or having its clout diminished if its vote winds up being split. Dave Heineman, the governor, also points out what he views as the hypocrisy of Democrats advocating for a split vote in Nebraska but not elsewhere.
There is a reason that New York and California and other big states don't want to do it like us, okay? And it's very, very political depending which party you're in. And in those two particular states, winner takes all means the Democrats get all the votes. And so they don't want to change it. It's interesting, we want to do it in a state like Nebraska, a Republican state, so instead of being 5-0, it's 4-1, it's a net 3 instead of 5. So if the rest of the country goes to like ours, I'll accept that. I don't think that's the preferred method, but I do not hear any of my friends on the other side of the aisle rushing to New York, rushing to California, and saying they ought to implement it. And I wonder why.
Well, Fred Knapp, his point is taken, but what are Democrats saying about this proposed change in Nebraska?
Well, they're saying that it's actually advantageous to keep the current system of split electoral votes because ordinarily, the state would be ignored in presidential politics. It would be taken as a safely Republican seat, and it wouldn't be worth Democrats' while to campaign here, or Republicans for that matter. John McCain won 57% of the vote here, although Barack Obama won the Omaha area electoral vote. And they say Nebraska is different from the states that the governor mentions. Vic Kovalt made this point. He's the chairman of the Nebraska Democratic Party.
Well, Nebraska has always been different, and we're neither California nor New York. Without the splitting of the electoral votes, we would have no attention whatsoever in a presidential race. And as 2008 showed, they brought in about $8-10 million worth of economic activity because we're willing to allow people's votes to be counted by congressional district.
So Fred Knapp, Vic Kovalt there saying it brought a lot of money into the area and a lot of attention. But what's interesting, and this is going to play out in Pennsylvania as well, this doesn't split down party lines. There are Republicans who are against this turning back from the district system to a winner-take-all.
That's right. There's always been two factions, at least, in the Nebraska Republican Party, those that are more party-oriented and those that are more nonpartisan or bipartisan. And one such legislator, his name is Paul Shoemaker, was the deciding vote, who indicated he would not favor switching back to the winner-take-all system. So even though there's a vast majority of registered Republicans in the legislature, they're not organized that way. They don't always vote that way, and they were unable to pass a repeal bill this year.
Because of this one Republican standing in the way of that, as you said, because Paul Shoemaker felt it was, you know, just too partisan. But how did the Republican Party in the state respond to that?
Well, the latest thing that's happened is that the state central committee has approved a resolution saying that they will deny support to any candidate who doesn't support the repeal of the split vote and the return to winner-take-all.
That's pretty tough. I mean, you know, that's really throwing down a gauntlet there in Nebraska. We won't support you if you don't support this move. What do you think is going to happen?
I think it's status quo for now. Repeal has actually passed twice in the 1990s, but it was vetoed by then-Governor Ben Nelson, now a Democratic U.S. senator. So I think it's possible that things will stay as they are for now, and when the makeup of the legislature changes, it could go away. It could be repealed.
Fred, any sense of the pressure from the Republican Party outside the state to make this change and to remove that one now Democratic electoral vote?
It would just be a surmise on my point, but I think there was a scenario in 2008 where if Barack Obama won all the states that John Kerry had won, plus I think Iowa and New Mexico, that the Omaha area electoral vote could have broken the tie.
Well, little Omaha would have had all of that influence. Fred, thanks so much.
Plus it has a nice zoo.
There you go. Fred, thank you.
Thank you.
We're looking at changes being proposed to the Electoral College by Republicans in two states. Now, we just heard about Nebraska, where Republican legislators there want to move from a proportional system in which candidates win the electoral votes within each district to a winner-take-all system in which candidates who win the popular vote of every state win all that state's electoral votes. That's what Pennsylvania currently has, and now state Republican lawmakers want to go the other way, which has stirred up a lot of opposition, not just from Democrats, but from fellow Republicans. John Micek is State House reporter for Allentown's The Morning Call. John, Pennsylvania, big Electoral College prize, 20 votes, also a swing state. It's gone for Republicans and Democrats. And Democrats are saying this is a pretty transparent effort to cut down on President Obama's electoral votes in 2012. What are Republicans saying?
That's right, Robin. President, had this system been in place in 2008, rather than taking all 21 of Pennsylvania's electoral votes, President Obama would have beaten John McCain 11-10 in the state. In response to this, Republicans are saying they are simply, there's nothing nefarious about this, that they are simply trying to more closely align the outcome of the popular vote with the electoral vote with the outcome of the popular vote. This has stirred up an absolute hornet's nest, though, as you mentioned. Mm. Everyone from the state Republican chairman to Representative Peter Sessions, the chairman of the National GOP's Congressional Committee, has come down against this.
And why? Why are the national leaders in particular against it?
Well, the fear is that in these marginal districts in the suburbs around Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, right now, if you come to Pennsylvania, the big campaigns are waged in Pittsburgh and in Philly. The fear is from Republicans that if you take those races, those contests out of the big city where all the Democrats are and plunk them down into these swing districts around the big cities, that Republican lawmakers who have never had to wage really intense campaigns will all of a sudden not only find themselves fighting their opponent, but also fighting massive get-out-the-vote efforts by the Democratic National Committee. You could have a congressional race that could conceivably go from $2 million to $10 million, and that's a lot of money in Pennsylvania.
And they might lose. In other words, somebody who had a pretty assured Republican seat, if Democrats start pouring money into those districts to try to win an electoral vote that they wouldn't have bothered for before because they might just wrap up Philly and Pittsburgh, if they start pouring that money in, they might win the electoral vote, but also the local Republican might lose their race.
That's entirely possible. There's also a fear on the part of Republicans that some of this might trickle down the ballot. Next year, all three statewide row offices are up for election of state treasurer, state auditor general, and state attorney general. The Office of Attorney General has been Republican for the 30 years that it's been an elected office here in Pennsylvania. Tom Corbett, the Republican governor, is a former Attorney General, and he would very much like to keep that office in GOP hands next year.
Well, as you said, Republicans are saying they're just trying to go with this winner-take-district system because it's more closely aligned with the popular vote. And, you know, the Electoral College has always been a little funky. Historians point out that it came about in part because of concern that the much bigger North, much bigger in population North, would overwhelm the South because, of course, slaves couldn't vote in the South, and a deal was struck so that slaves were actually counted for a percentage of people, but they still couldn't vote. And that was then. And the New York Times is pointing out that a proportional system by district might more closely match the popular vote. But then once you factor in gerrymandering, it changes everything. In other words, Republicans in Pennsylvania probably know that they have carved districts that are more Republican-leaning, or they just naturally have districts that are more Republican-leaning, and that the popular vote is about even. And once you know that you can create districts that lean towards your party, well, wouldn't everybody do that?
Well, that is the great drama undercutting all of this. Right now, as everywhere else in the country, Pennsylvania is in the process of redrawing its congressional seats. But the Republicans learned a hard lesson 10 years ago. They redrew the congressional map in such a way that, in effect, they got greedy. And then when there were massive shifts in Democratic registration in 2006, they got their hats handed to them. They are now, as a consequence of that, being far more cautious, and in this round of redistricting, are going to draw the seats a little bit more evenly so that they lean Republican but aren't overwhelmingly that way in case of registration shifts. And so that creates that danger for them, too, if the Democrats come in and start dumping a ton of resources into swing seats.
Well, as critics also point out, you know, maybe this would be fair if it was done nationwide, but surely Republicans wouldn't look to, say, Texas and want to carve up their electoral votes there when they are pretty assured of winner-take-all.
Oh, heck no. And I mean, that is the argument you keep hearing from people around here, that Pennsylvania, as you know, one of the great swing states along with Ohio and Florida, should not act alone. That there's no reason that a state as big as this, as big a prize as this, with as much clout and access to federal money, should act alone or just join with two relatively small states as Nebraska and Maine.
Well, and John Misek, given all this, again, State House reporter for Allentown's The Morning Call, with your ear to the ground there in Pennsylvania, what do you think is going to happen?
Well, the most immediate thing is in the first week of October, there's going to be a public hearing in the State Senate, State Government Committee on this, where all the sides can come in and present their arguments pro and con. We're now beginning to hear rumblings that the Republican-controlled State House, despite some initial early public noises in support of this, is beginning to get a little bit skittish. They're now saying stuff like, well, this is an issue that's worthy of review, but it's, you know, down near the bottom of our priorities list. We have all this other stuff to do. So, you know, somebody over there looked at the political reality of this and obviously had a bit of a wake-up call.
And by the way, we just mentioned briefly the National Popular Vote Movement. This is states like California considering banding together and then throwing all their electoral votes behind a national popular vote winner. That's really in the embryonic stages. But, John, is there a sense there that there is going to be some change eventually?
You know, that would seem to be the case. I mean, there's enough dissatisfaction with from the left and from the right with the current Electoral College process that there may be some kind of tweaking. There is a bill in the Pennsylvania State House and Senate right now that would institute this national popular vote system here in Pennsylvania, but it doesn't really have a lot of legs. And the other thing is that Pennsylvania, culturally and politically, is a conservative state that we've joked for years that the motto on the license plate should be, "We fear change." And so if there is reform, it will come here in Pennsylvania, as with everything else, incrementally and at a snail's pace.
Again, John Misek of Allentown's The Morning Call. John, thanks so much.
Thank you.